good is good enough. If you were asked this question, how good is good enough, what would your answer be tonight? How good does a person tonight have to be accepted by God? See, if the truth were to be told, folks, most people, they want to be good. They try to do the right thing. They try to live a right life. They don't go off and bother anybody else. They try to be, for the most part, decent, law-abiding. Can I tell you, in every basket, you got a bad apple. Amen? You have a bad apple, but for the most part, people are good. But the question I have for you tonight is, how good is good enough? Let's read our text. This is talking about Cornelius. He's a centurion. Amen. The word of God says in verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. That was Acts 10, 1 through 8. A centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. We're talking about, folks, we're talking about a pagan. He's not saved yet. He's not right with God yet. He hasn't accepted Christ yet. But yet, he is able to still be the man that we see. How many would say that he's a pretty good man? Verse 3, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly a vision, an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from amongst those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for everything you do. We cry out to you tonight, God, help us to know that truly you are good. Father, we thank you. Help us, Lord God, in all that we do. Instruct us, lead us, guide us, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. So here tonight, we have a man named Cornelius. He was a good man. He was a successful man. He was a military leader, a centurion, where they were the most respected of the Roman army. He made a good life, not only for himself, but also for his family. He was a moral man. He had a good reputation, even amongst the Jews. He lived his life trying to, amen, live a right life, trying to do the right things and doing it. Can I tell you, and doing it, it caused him to have a great respect. He feared God. He was a Gentile who followed, listen to me, he was not of the line, amen, of the Jewish, but yet he followed the Jewish religion. He was attracted to the morality and ethical standards that were in Judaism. Though he, had not converted or had not gotten saved, he was a participant in many of the traditions. This meant that he went through, listen to me, he was a Roman, but yet he went to the synagogues. In a sense, listen to me, in the great sense, he was a church goer. He followed God. He was a tither. He gave his money. He was not a selfish man. And he tried and did his best to be able to help those that were in need. He prayed. He knew, amen, that he needed to pray to God and wanted, amen, to talk to God. Isn't that amazing? Despite all these things that Cornelius did, he was still missing, amen, one critical thing. Though Cornelius was a model person according to society, though he attained a successful life, though he provided well for his family, though he lived a good life, though he was well respected, though he had a good reputation, though he was a religious person, and though he went to church, he gave his money, he prayed, but yet he was still lost. He did everything. He checked the blocks. Did that. Everything that Cornelius had done was just for the here and the now here on earth. He was lost. Though he was successful in many ways, yet it was not enough. Though he provided, he had all these things, he gave, that still, in the eyes of God, was still not enough. Jesus is our only one that is good enough. How many would agree tonight? See, Cornelius was a good person, but without Jesus, can I tell you, and this might seem offensive, he still was nothing in the eyes of God. Pastor, how can you say that? Because without Jesus, as Jesus said, I am the way, the what? No one comes to the Father except through me. All these things, attributes that Cornelius had, all these things that he did, amen. Yet, yes, they counted for something, but to God, he was still lost. See, in the book of Acts, Starting in verse 9, amen, we're going to follow just along. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near to the cedar, to the city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals on the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Verse 17. Now while Peter wondered within himself what his vision, which he had seen, meant, behold, the men who had been sent by from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. Verse 19, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the man who had sent him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" Verse 22. And they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and hear words from you." Here it is. Amen. Peter had a dream, and he dreamed of unclean animals. Amen. God forbid, amen, the Jews to eat. Three times he had that same dream, amen, and God told him all three times the same things. After the dream, Cornelius' men, they come, and Peter, they come to Peter and told him that he needed to go. And in verse 39 of chapter 10, "And we are witnesses of all things which ye did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by the hanging on the tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before God, even not to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sins." In other words, that word remission is the forgiveness of sins. Cornelius, amen, and his whole house get saved. Cornelius sounds, amen, how many know that Cornelius would be the man of the year? He sounds like one of the best people ever. People loved him. He treated people with decency and respect. He prayed. He went to church and even tithed. In the eyes of many in the world, this would be great. But he still needed to trust Jesus as a Savior. See, your families tonight, can I tell you? Your families might be the nicest. They might be the friendliest. They might treat others kindly. They might even go to church. And even though all those things tonight, they might be true, they could never be good enough. Just like you and I can never be good enough without Jesus. Every single one of us without Jesus, we would still be lost in the sauce. Amen? Cornelius was not a Christian. He was a pagan. But God was working in and around his life. See, God heard his prayers. It's amazing, folks. God still hears prayers today. My wife got saved. Listen to me. I was a heathen. I was lost. She was raised in the church. God began to speak onto her life. God began to deal with her. Isn't it wonderful that even though you might think you're far away from God, God still deals with you? Amen. She had been married to me for 4 years. We were about ready. We didn't want to get divorced. The only reason I did not want to get divorced is because I had two girls at the time, and I didn't want my girls to call somebody else dad. The butterflies, though she was still beautiful, though, amen, down deep inside of me, I still loved her. I didn't see her as everything that I saw when I first glanced at her. God purposely took me out of the picture for God to deal with her. She cried out to God, God, I know that you're the God of my mother. And God, as you've done miracles in her life, God, I need you to come into my life. She cries out to God one night. And then she says, but I still have a heathen husband. Amen. She says, I still have a heathen husband. God save him. If you didn't know me, you wouldn't like me. Or even if you knew me, you still wouldn't like me. Because I was not kind. I was still loud as I am, but I had a foul mouth. I was vulgar. I didn't respect you. If you looked at me different, the way I was raised is, let's do it. I don't care. There's going to be a possibility. One of the two is going to get beat up. Amen? That's the way I was raised, folks. And I had the best training in the world to fight because I had seven brothers and three sisters that we beat each other down. That's where we got our training to fight. My dad, in every wall that he had, folks, it was so bad that not one wall in our whole house did not have a plywood to be it. We didn't. He said, forget it. I'm not putting sheetrock anymore. I'm just putting the plywood because you guys keep breaking my walls as we would throw each other through the walls. And yet she cried out to God. And God was faithful to touch her life. See, God heard his prayers. God had a plan. And the plan was that not only him, but his whole house, amen, would get saved. God, amen, is working in the lives, even as you don't see the results, even though you don't see anything move, God is moving behind the background. God is touching, God is guiding, God is maneuvering, and God is placing specifically, amen, so that they could get saved and they can get touched by God. He's working in the lives of your families. He's working in your friends. See, tonight, it might not look the greatest. Pastor, you don't understand who they are. Listen, can I tell you? I remember who I was. I understand. Amen. I understand. It might seem like it's impossible. They don't want you to talk to them. But yet, as you talk to God, God talks to them. And God softens their heart to where now those words that were there, the word of God says that his words do not fall void. Amen. Secondly, tonight, God wants to use your life. Isn't that amazing? God, me? You want to use my life? Peter was many miles away from Cornelius. He had no idea that Cornelius even existed. He was nowhere in his radar. Peter had been trained, listen to me, Peter had been trained to stay away from people like him. Remember, he was an exile, a Gentile, a pagan, a heathen. See, they were unclean. He was not one of them. Listen, he was not a Jew. In other words, he was an outsider, folks. And God told him that nothing that he had created was unclean. All people, can I tell you, all people matter just the same to God as one from the other. That's why God tonight would want to use your life. He would want to, be able to save your family. Listen, how many want to see their families go to hell? See, God would use you to reach them. Isn't that amazing? God would use, listen to me, God would use you to be able to touch them. See, your family, your friends, they need you. Pastor, you don't understand what they do. Can I tell you? Such were some of us, the word of God says. Amen? See, you may not approve of them or their style of life. You may want to wash your hands just like Pontius Pilate. It's off my hands. Their destiny is in their destiny. See, they may be, listen to me, can I tell you, they may be the most immoral, foul people in the world. They may even make fun of you. Pastor, I don't even want to go talk to them because I know they're going to ridicule me. They're going to make fun of me. Pastor, listen, they might. And they will. God wants you to be able to show them him. Could it be that God would save you? Just like he would come and talk to Cornelius so that his whole house would be saved. You know, with my grandkids being and knowing about the things of God, that makes Maribel's grandfather, generation one, Maribel's mother, generation two, Maribel and I, generation three, my kids, generation four, and now my grandkids, generation five, knowing about the things of God. Can I tell you, to be able to see my grandson before I came to church say, as my daughter told him, tell him what you said at church. He said, amen. Amen. Can I tell you, that would have been completely out of my radar before Christ. Lastly, amen, as we close, you know what to say. Because when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he is going to guide you. See, when Peter got to Cornelius, he told him already, as we read from verses 39 through 45, he told him all about, listen, he told him all about Jesus. He told him who Jesus was. He was crucified, buried, and rose from the dead. Peter was a witness to all that. What are you and I, amen, tonight, or what are you and I supposed to say? Do we, amen, need a pre-written speech? Let me write it down. We need to do this. Listen, you don't need a pre-written speech. Do you need to memorize the whole Bible from A through Z? Can I tell you, that would be amazing. But just tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. Who he is, what he did, and what he has done for you, and who you are now because of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Pastor, can I really do that? Because every single one of you has your story, your testimony of what the encounter and who you are in Christ. Simple. You can go out and witness tonight. Now that you know what to say, you can go and tell your story to people that are out there that don't know about Jesus. And well, one day, as God says, I wish that none should perish, but that all would come to repentance, that because they do not know Jesus, they're going to perish. Can I tell you, this is not to be able to make you, well, Pastor, why you make me feel bad? No. Will it make you feel bad to see them go to a place of torment where the worm never dies? Because that place is real. Just like heaven is real, hell tonight is real. You and I have, listen to me, you and I have an obligation. If we received the good news, we should be able to tell others about that same good news. Let me have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight, amen. We're going to move quickly, amen. We're not going to take a lot of your time. You're here tonight and you're not saved. You're here tonight, you're not right with God. Can Jesus touch your life tonight? Can Jesus tonight touch your life? He wants to save you if you're not saved. He wants to rescue you from the wages of your sin, not somebody else's sin, your sin. And if you're not right with God tonight, Jesus wants to do a miracle. Would you give your life to Christ tonight? Christians are praying. People are crying out to God right now. You can give your life to Jesus. Would that be you? Simply do one thing. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Maybe you're a backslider and you're not saved. Amen. God sees that hand. Maybe you're a backslider. You are not right with God as you should be. You want to surrender your life tonight. Would you give Jesus an opportunity? Would you give him an opportunity with your life tonight? Is your life now going to be perfect? Can I tell you, your life would be available for God to move in your life simply because of a decision that you have made. Would you give Jesus tonight an opportunity? You're not saved, you're a backslider. Amen. Jesse, would you come and pray with this young man? Hallelujah. Come. He's going to pray with you, okay? God bless you. Church, let me speak to you tonight. Have you given up? Pastor, you don't understand. Pastor, my family, they don't want nothing with God. Can I tell you, God wants them tonight. Pastor, my friends, they ridicule me for just coming to church. They ridiculed and mocked Jesus. What makes you and I any different? If they did it to him, they're going to do it to you. Pastor, can I tell you tonight, Jesus wants to use your life to be able to touch them. To be able to touch their lives. God saved you for a purpose. He saved you to be used for his glory and in whatever capacity. How good tonight is good enough? In the eyes of God, there is not one righteous, no, not one. And tonight, Jesus wants to do a miracle in people's life. And it can start with you. I'm going to open up the altar. Come, lay hold of God tonight. Amen. Come, lay hold of God tonight. Just softly. Softly. Singing. God wants to use you. God has a purpose for you. You got saved so that you can touch, he says, go into all the nations. Can I tell you, the nations might just be your community. The nations might just be your school. The nations might just be your workplace. The nations might just be reaching your families.
To feel the love of your embrace.
The nations are people tonight, folks,
help me find a way. Bring me
that are lost and are dying without Jesus. And you and I tonight believe God. Can you and I tonight believe God for our family? Can I tell you, if my wife had not believed God for me, I definitely know that I would not be here today. I would still be an alcoholic. as all my brothers were and are. And the one thing that my brothers, when I witnessed to them, listen, I've been witnessing to my brothers for 27 years. And I only have one that is saved out of 10 of us or 9 that are alive right now. And every single one of them tell me the same thing. Who are you to tell us? Because you are exactly like we are. And I remind them, listen to me. I remind them every time they throw that back at my face, you said the right words. That's who I was. And you know, listen to me. And I tell them, and you know that my life is totally different, changed because of one thing when I accepted Jesus into my life. So when they try to mock me, can I tell you? Even though they are not saved, and I've been working on it for 27 now years, going on 27 years. They drink. They don't have any restraints. They do all kinds of things. I don't want to hear it. But you know, when Maribel and I go around them, they put the drinks down. They put their drinks down. Jesus and Maribel are here. I don't tell them that. They say a word, hey, don't talk like that. My brother and his wife are here. I don't tell them that, but they know it and they see it. And because they see it, can I tell you, one day, just like Cornelius and all his household were saved, they're going to give their lives to Christ. Amen? But I have to continue believing and praying, and my prayers go up to God. Can I tell you, your prayers don't just fall void. They go up to the living God, and God sees and hears and knows all things. And even though they might not, God is sending people different things onto their lives. And little by little, their hearts are softening where before they were completely blocked. That's the work of God. That's the work of God. Let's continue to pray. Let's pray for our families. Let's pray, for our friends. Let's pray for the people that work with us. Because God's work is that none should perish. Mark, close us in prayer.